played a sport that involved a halftime. If you played football, raise your hand, soccer, field hockey, at some point in time you played a sport. Okay, everybody, keep your hands up. Look around. Okay, a lot of you. Now, let me ask you, what is the purpose of halftime? Again, this is audience participation time. What will they try to accomplish during halftime? Why do we have halftime? Regroup, pep talk. Coach yells at you. Snack time. Somebody said potty time, first service. He was over 50, so I drew his attention to that. Keep it coming. Rest. The show? The halftime show. Of course. Why didn't I think of that? So the band can play, right? That's the purpose of halftime. Anything else? Strategy? What's that? Okay, the game plan. Exactly. You're going to, probably the coach is going to reflect a little bit on the first half and the things that needed to be improved or changed, and then you're going to strategize for the second half. So some of you are saying, well, what in the world does halftime have to do with being at church this morning with the Colossians study? Here's what I want you to understand, that as we look at the fall, at least as I look at the fall, I look at a four-month stretch from Labor Day to Christmas. We are right in the middle of that four-month stretch. September and October is behind us. We're heading into November, and we're heading into the most hectic time of the year. The second half is a critical time in our lives as we navigate through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and holidays. And so this morning, I want you to take a moment and say, okay, what has transpired over the first half? What has transpired in September and October in my life, in my walk with the Lord? And as I look forward to November and December, what's the future hold? This morning, then, is a time to regroup, a time to refocus. As you think back over the past couple months, at least for me, I think back to the Colossians study that we begun the Sunday after Labor Day weekend. And if you were here that Sunday, you may remember that I said that my goal was not for this just to be another sermon series, but that you and I are going to go on a journey with God and allow His Word through His Holy Spirit to speak and minister to each one of our hearts this morning. But the goal for the fall is not to gain more knowledge. The goal for the fall for each one of us as we go into the second half, let's make sure we know what the goal is. The goal is to love God, to know God, to worship Him, to abide with Him, to follow Him. That's the goal. Hopefully, part of that process of knowing God is going to include studying His Word. And for many of us, it involves the study of Colossians. And there's a hymn that says, "My heart is prone to wander." Isn't that the case? All of our hearts are prone to wonder. I began September, maybe you began September and say, oh, it's a fresh start. I want to be committed in my relationship with the Lord. I want to worship Him and follow Him, and I'm going to be committed to working through and studying Colossians or whatever you committed to in your own personal study. But you become distracted. You've got off track. For many of us, it can fall into like two categories. For some of us, things have transpired in September and October that were difficult, that we didn't anticipate, that were not part of our plan. And because of those trials and challenges, we've lost our way. We've been consumed with the emotions of struggles and challenges. The flip side can also be true. For myself, it's been a very enjoyable September and October. Things here at the church are going well. Things in my family are going well. But you know what? In the same way, that can lead to complacency. I can begin to worship the gifts that God's given me rather than Him as the giver of those gifts. So this morning, as we regroup at halftime in the middle of the fall, it's an opportunity to take inventory of where we've been and where we need to go. There's three elements that I hope are part of your experience this morning. Number one is confession and repentance. As we reflect on the past week, as we reflect on the past month, as we reflect on the fall, my guess is that you're going to have things that you've said or done that you look back upon and you say, oh man, I wish I could do it over. And you're probably, your next response is, well, but there's a reason why I did that. And you begin to justify and explain. And this morning is an opportunity for you not to justify or to explain, but to say, God, I agree with you that I did not make the mark. I have not lived a holy and righteous life. And we confess, we agree with God that it's sin. Repentance is, there's going to be a change of heart. God, instead of going this way with my life, I want to refocus and recenter my life on you. I want to refocus on living out my identity, a holy life in Christ. So hopefully as we continue through the surface this morning, confession and repentance will be what that's taken place in your heart. Secondly, I hope this morning will be a time to praise and thank God. Because regardless of the challenges over the past 2 months, regardless of what's going on in your life this morning, you and I have spiritual blessings to be thankful for, many of which we've referenced in Colossians. In addition to those spiritual blessings, you have relational blessings, material blessings. This morning, as a halftime in the middle of the fall, is an opportunity to worship and to praise God and to thank Him. And thirdly, it's an opportunity to hear from Him, to hear from God. Keep with the analogy of the halftime, the head coach. This morning, you need to be saying, God, what do you want of me as I head into November and December? And allow God to use the scripture. Allow God to use the baptism. Allow God to use the songs that we're going to sing to speak to your heart this morning. We're going to give you about 30 seconds to a minute to just quiet your hearts to reflect as Cheryl comes out and leads us from the piano.
Stand as we continue in worship. In a few moments, we'll have the privilege of hearing how Christ has redeemed a young man, the privilege of hearing the redeeming work of the cross. And we've all been given the charge to glorify and to lift up the name of the Lord, the King of Kings. Why don't we sing together, "We Will Glorify the King of Kings."
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify.
To the Lamb, hallelujah.
Making the ultimate sacrifice so that we might know you. Thank you for the redeeming work of the cross. We love you this morning. Amen. Please be seated.
For the opportunity this morning to worship you. We pray that, again, you would use all that's taking place here this morning to speak and to minister to our hearts for our good and for your glory. Lord, we love you. Amen.
Continue in worship from where you are by singing My Jesus, I Love Thee.
For Thee all the Father.
I want to encourage you to take out the handout in your bulletin that summarizes the main points through our study of Colossians for a little over the first half of our series. I want to encourage each of you, if you have your Bibles, to open up to Colossians chapter 1. But as we reflect on September and October in terms of our study through Colossians, I want to encourage you, as an opportunity for you to participate, to come to the front. We have a mic up front here, and I would like for you to read a verse or verses that God has used to speak or to minister to your hearts. Maybe it wasn't in Colossians chapter 1 or 2, or maybe through your own personal study it's in Colossians 4. Feel free to read that. If you want to share briefly why it's been meaningful, you can share briefly, but we have 5 to 10 minutes here in the service, and I'd rather have 5 or 10 people share for a minute than someone take up all the 10 minutes to share about a passage. So don't be shy, but simply come up and take the mic and read the verse or verses that's been meaningful to you. So who will be first? Thank you, Sue. Yeah. Or maybe you can just step it out. Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lisa Lynch. I have really, really enjoyed this. It'd be easier if I just look at you.
How about I come down, and then I can take the mic and hand it to the next person.
You guys can all just listen. I've really, really, really enjoyed this study on Colossians, and I had some hard questions in that Colossians Navigator's book just a week or two ago, and I kind of slowed up on a couple of questions. Probably took me 3 days to get through 3 questions, but it was basically the personal aspect. Very easy to fill out the facts, but the personal stuff was harder. And basically, it was, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I gleaning? And I kind of got stumped, but then I realized that I am learning that now what I'm doing is not in vain. I don't know if I said that right, but so anyway, I was flipping back and forth between Colossians and Ephesians, and I thought that I had found my answer in Colossians, and when I went to share it with a friend on the phone, because I had marked it, I found out it was in Philippians. But this is what it says. I'll just read it real quickly and then just let that be. It's actually Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That was the verse that jumped off the page at me. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For this same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me.
Thank you so much. Somebody else, come and share a verse or verses from Colossians or wherever that God has used to speak and to minister to your hearts.
I didn't come here to share in this service. I was in the first service. I came to see Elliot Good baptized, but I did want to share this. My life verse is in Philippians 3, 10 to 14, and it talks about that I have never claimed to have already won the prize or be perfect. I keep running towards that goal, which is life with Christ. But Colossians 3 just kind of like lit that up in my memory, starting in verse 1, since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joy of heaven where he sits besides God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back, you will shine with him and share in all his glory. And that just tied in with my life verse in Philippians. And, mm-hmm. and of course, when you lose someone you really, really love a lot, and your whole perspective of heaven changes. And whenever I read a verse about heaven, and I think of who's there and who we love, and makes you so aware of how unimportant things like 400 wins are. It was important yesterday, but I've come back to life now, and it is not that important anymore. And so I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Ed. Well said.
I have two verses that have been meaningful to me the past several days, week. One is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And the one that sort of goes with that is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I know that my attitude will never be perfect until I reach heaven, but I can empty my dishwasher honoring the Lord. I can fold clothes mm-hmm. honoring the Lord. And I'm trying to instill that into my children who don't like doing chores. But if you do it for the Lord, he gets joy out of it, whether anybody else sees you do it or not.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brandy. Somebody else.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm new here. We're just visiting in the neighborhood. That's my great. Wife and I. We just got married. She knew I would do that. I want to share Colossians 12:17. Seems appropriate. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Time for one or two more. Hey, Tim. Good for you.
I'm Tim Spoo. I became a Christian in 1975 in Iwakuni, Japan. The person that led me to Christ was a navigator. And our book is written by NAB Press. And one of the first things, it was a discipleship program for military people. I was in the Marine Corps for 30 years, but this is when I was a new Marine. But they had the topical memory system. So 60 Bible verses. And the thing was, what's your verse you're working on?
Hold the mic.
Yeah. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So learning those the topical memory system by the navigators, there's not a day go by that one of the verses I've learned mm-hmm. pops out and reminds me, and I use it to be a better Christian. So thank you.
Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Very critical. One more. Oh, we got time for two more. Got to stand up, though. Face everybody.
Okay. I'm Aria. It's not really a verse, but I just think Paul is really cool because he was being persecuted and he wrote, like, all this stuff. And God was just really telling me that if Paul can, like, be persecuted, I can tell people at my school and baby I'm fed up and stuff. And I just thought that was kind of cool. That, yeah.
Amen.
This verse popped out at me the other week in our Sunday school class, and that is, it's Colossians 1, last half of verse 2, and then verse 3. It's resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. We live in a world where I'm kind of a follower of politics, and there's always arguing and posturing who's the smartest person in the room and where they went to school. And the reality is that wisdom and knowledge comes from God alone. And he lives within you if you know him.
Amen. Thank you. In just a moment, Pastor Mark is going to baptize Elliot. And you're going to hear his testimony about what Christ has done in his life. And last night, I had the opportunity to view his testimony. And let me read to you a passage in Colossians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles open. It's a passage that we've been referencing throughout this series, talking about the supremacy of Christ. And I hope you can see in just a moment, as you hear Elliot's story, how the supremacy of Christ is reflected in his life as he is submitting to what Christ has ordained for him and for his life, as he is submitting to that, the transformation that's come. And so again, let me read this passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Think about, what does it mean for Christ to have the supremacy in your life? What does that look like? And as you watch Elliot and listen to Elliot's story, hopefully you can see the supremacy of Christ being reflected in Elliot's story.
Before I baptize Elliot, I want to remind us that baptism is not what saves us. Baptism is a picture of what has already happened in our lives through our salvation. It's a public testimony of what God has already done in bringing us to him. I want to read a passage out of Romans chapter 6 that speaks to that. It says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, and that word baptized into Christ Jesus refers to our salvation, not to this act of baptism, but the act of the Holy Spirit bringing us into God's family. All of us who have been saved, is what it is saying, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, though through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is a visual representation of our salvation, of our dying to sin, being buried with Christ, and then being raised to new life in him. And so baptism is a picture of our salvation. And this morning, we're going to have the opportunity and the privilege of seeing Elliot baptized. 2 years ago, when we came to the church, Elliot was a senior in high school, and I have had the privilege these last 2 years of being involved in a small part in his life and seeing him grow and seeing God work in his life. But you need to hear that from him. So I want to ask you to focus on the screens as Elliot tells us a little bit of his story. Elliot, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of your desire to follow him in baptism and give this testimony through your baptism to those that are watching, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to share a verse out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 with Elliot. This verse 16 says, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you praise today for Elliot and the testimony that he has shared with us. We give you praise for his life, his determination to live for you. We thank you for the way that you have provided for his needs through very difficult times and circumstances, through days of questioning and wondering, days certainly of loneliness. And yet, Lord, you have proven yourself faithful and true in his life. You have convinced him of your presence. You have shown him that he can trust you wholly. Father, we thank you for a young man committed to living for you the way that Elliot has shared, the way that he has told us, of making sure that you have the supremacy in his life. And we pray that you would continue to use him in the various places that he seeks out, being a person who wants to be in service and in ministry for you, knowing that his life is what you will use to communicate to others. So God, as he remembers, as he perseveres in the things that you have taught him, in the things that he now also passes on to others, Lord, would you use him and his life to reach others for your kingdom, for your glory, for your purposes. We thank you for this testimony and pray that it would impact others even here this morning. And it's in your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
When we get to the point in the song that says, "So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned," I encourage you to lift your hands to the Lord. You don't have to. Psalm 134:2 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, praise the Lord. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help," Psalm 28:2, "as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place." And in 1 Timothy, Paul encourages us, "Therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing." Why don't you stand with us as we close by singing this song?
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you? So I'll walk upon salvation, the Spirit alive in me, my life to declare. What can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you?
So what can I say?
So what can I say?
Yeah.
I can have that last slide up. You can have the last slide, just the closing song. Maybe not. There it is. That is our marching orders for the second half. How do we go in to November and December? Right there it is. So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in all the one who gave it all I stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. That's how we go in to this week. That's how we go in to every week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand in all of you. We stand with arms high and lifted up, declaring that only you are worthy of our praise and adoration. Lord, we stand here this morning with hearts that are abandoned, with souls that are surrendered to you. Lord, declaring that your glory, your supremacy in our lives is ultimately what we want. Lord, we are so thankful for the way your glory is being revealed through Elliot. Lord, how he has walked out. What does it mean for all of us to see this morning? Lord, heart that is surrendered to your will above his own. Lord, we're thankful that as we walk like that, you can mold and shape our hearts so that we can reflect Christ. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your written word. We're thankful too, Lord, for the godly influences that you place in our life. Lord, but at the end of the day, you and you alone are worthy of our praise, our adoration, and our worship. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray this morning. Amen.